Mellon Security Approach.
Hello, everyone. My name is Reto Trinkler. I'm the chairman and co-founder, together with Mona Lisa, of Mellonport. And we're doing technology-regulated investment funds, completely with ERC-20 tokens, and obviously security is paramount for us. So I'd like to talk a bit about the Mellon approach to security, and I hope you're all going to see that we try to have a really holistic approach to security. So holistic means, or like to give a short overview, I'm going to talk shortly about what is Mellon, what are our values, then a bit theoretical part of it, like how we designed the protocol. After that, we go into code, so how we develop our code, like from smart contracts to front end, how we approach the auditing process, and how we go in even beyond technology and try to shape regulation. So Mellonport, we're doing technology regulated investment funds. So this concept of technology regulation is really this concept of contracts enforced by technology. So if you're doing a smart contracts, then you don't necessarily need to have a lawyer or an auditor or an enforcer. The technology is actually sufficient. The technology enforces itself. So we're using this concept of technology regulation and build investment funds on top of it. So investment funds is really just a set of assets, usually from a set of people, the investors, given to a manager and are held in one place, the custodian. The manager then can take those assets and trade them against other assets, preferably in a way that is beneficial to the investors. So what are our values? How do we want to design this? We want to design it in a way that is reliable. Reliable really means that it can't be undone. So since we're doing an alternative way of asset management, I think it's important to build it in a way where it can't be undone. So it's arguably what made Bitcoin to what it is today, the fact that it couldn't be undone. The second aspect of reliability is that it's secure. So obviously, if it isn't secure, then it's not very useful. So that's, I think that's why we're all here today as well. So the second value is it should be permissionless. So permissionless really means that it's not for us to decide who can and cannot use Mellon. The same way it wasn't up for Tim Berners-Lee to decide who can use and cannot use the internet. And the third one is it should be ownerless. So ownerless just means, you know, not controlled by a central party. Mellon should be a common good, the same way the internet is a common good. So Mellon. This is a short overview of the design of the protocol. In the middle, you see a Mellon fund. A Mellon fund, or like the core aspect of it, is really just a set of smart contracts. This set of smart contracts acts as the fund custodian. So as I'm sure you all know, smart contracts don't have private keys, so they can't spend assets themselves. They need to have custom code on how to spend those assets again. It's really a core aspect of our security approach. The second thing those smart contracts act for is, or they are supposed to be, or they are the fund accountant, meaning they calculate the performance of the manager, they calculate the share price, they calculate the management fees, the performance fees, like the incentive layer for the manager. And to do so, they need to have data. So they need to have data of the prices of the assets. And that's where the data feed module comes in. So the data feed module is essentially just another set of smart contracts which deliver data to the blockchain. So we were very lucky with having Oracle ICE together with CryptoCompare building a data feed module for us that uses native proofs to validate data, which means that data from its source to the blockchain is almost impossible to manipulate. Another great data feed module just recently announced is the one from Thomson Reuters. So you can have your Mellon fund now evaluated against data delivered from Thomson Reuters. Great. So we have fund custodian, we have fund accountant. If you look at what fund administration does, then we see fund administration does fund custodian, fund accountant, KYC AML, and risk management. So we just seen that we can solve two of them, fund custodian and fund accountant, with smart contracts. So how do we tackle KYC AML and risk management? So that's where the participation module comes in and the risk management module. So for those that don't know, like fund administration, they handle a trillion dollar industry. So, okay, so participation. So the way participation works is really, if someone wants to invest in a Mellon fund, on smart contract level, it's like a phone call to another set of smart contracts with a set of parameters, and essentially asks the participation module, is this person allowed to invest or not? So for example, we're working with the government of Zug that essentially then, you know, they work with Uport to have like, to register citizens. So so this participation module will be then like calls on smart contract level to the government of Zug and asks, is this person registered with us? If yes, this person is allowed to invest. If no, then not. So, but this really extends to just government of Zug. Like it's essentially every jurisdiction or every certain need can be implemented in such a module. And the fourth aspect of fund administration is risk management. So risk management is similar. So if the manager wants to make a trade, it's like calling the risk management module before the trade happens. Is this trade allowed, yes or no? So for example, one example for risk management is only trades are allowed that are above the current market price. So that trading that is not beneficial for investor becomes really hard. And really leads to a system where the manager and the investor, they don't actually have to know each other. The same way if you make a Bitcoin transaction, you don't actually need to know who's behind the public key. It's sufficient to just trust in the technology. So thus technology regulated funds. Okay, so what happens if this set of smart contracts now needs to be upgraded? So essentially, we have this concept of version, which is like protocol version, similar to Ethereum. All of the Mellon funds are identical in each version. And if a version now needs to be upgraded, then it's essentially just a governance layer that will be most likely just a set of people that are kind of voted in by the token holders. So it's a small set of people. Thus, they can act efficiently and fast if needed. Yet they're still legitimized by all of the token holders. So yeah, those set of people then can add or remove versions, effectively upgrading. Great, so now a bit about how we actually code these things. So we currently use DApp. So for those that don't know, DApp's suite is really a great tool. It's really nice for Solidity unit tests, and they have like a Haskell implementation of the EVM. So it allows developers to really dig deep into the lowest level of the EVM to see where the bug is, for example. A second great tool that we use is Oyente. So we're currently funding the development of Oyente. It's essentially a smart contract analyzing tool. It allows to test your contracts against certain properties. So for example, re-entrancy can be checked automatically with this tool. Another really, really great tool is you can build in custom assertions. So for example, you know, assert that the accounting checks out after each function call, and then you can apply Oyente and try to violate that assertion. So if that violation isn't, if that assertion isn't violated, that's a good sign that it's actually not possible to ever violate that assertion. And we integrated that now with Travis CI, so every time we make a commit, Oyente gets run. Then we use Chessman tests. Chessman tests is really useful for us for this holistic approach. So with Chessman, we can build like expectation sets and then share them across GitHub repositories. So for example, we have the same expectation sets on smart contract level as we have in Melon.js, our JavaScript library. And we also just recently switched to Parity.js, so we have the Parity dev chain instead of test.rpc. So how do we approach front-end? So just maybe a short explanation, like if you build smart contracts and if like 99% of your users end up using a front-end to those contracts, then arguably the front-end is similar as important as, or the security of the front-end is similar to as important as the smart contracts itself. So that's why we use IPFS. IPFS is really great for security. Because it has this content addressed nature. So content addressed really means that the content that you view on IPFS is addressed by its hash. So you can verify in our GitHub that in our build folder that the hash that we create is actually the hash that you access on IPFS. So there's no way to build in any malicious code, code that, for example, tracks you or tries to steal your private keys or collect some data. So it's really transparent and it's really reliable as well because it's hosted on essentially a BitTorrent farm. So makes it really reliable. Obviously permissionless and ownerless as well. Then we have Melon Mail. So Melon Mail is essentially a messaging service that is as secure as your crypto. By the way, if you want to see the front end, it's melon.fund. If you want to see the mail service, it's melon.email. It uses your private key to encrypt your communication and then stores it on IPFS. So the reason why this is important, so imagine you work for Jamie Dimon and he threatens you to fire you if you ever trade with crypto. But with Melon Mail, you still can have a Melon font, and having essentially just your public key exposed, your investors can still communicate with you, and you never share anything more than your public key. So how we approach audits and bug bounties? So we start with audits from well-known and well-respected individuals and companies, and then open it up to a general bug bounty so that everyone can participate. And eventually we deploy a live Melon fund that is funded, and whoever can hack it can have the amount that it was funded with. By the way, we always incentivize people. So if you found a vulnerability in our codes, no matter if the bug bounty started already, you will get incentivized for it. So as technologists, we love what we do, and technology is really important for us. But I think a holistic approach to security goes beyond just technology. So that's why we created MAMA. It's the Multi-Chain Asset Managers Association, which is essentially a trade body that tries to get innovative companies together at a table and allows them to give a voice so that the conversation isn't just dominated by the big banks or the traditional asset managers, but that innovative people and companies actually can organize and have their voice as well in order to shape legislation and regulation. Great, so Lastly, check out melon.fund. It's hosted completely on IPFS, has a beautiful interface to it. Check out melon.email. Go to oriente.melon.fund. Check out github.com/melonproject. We love pull requests. We love issues. Follow us on Twitter at melonport and join Mama if you're here representing an institution. And maybe just lastly, the reason why it's good to go to melon.fund and start practicing it a bit is that we just recently announced that we're going to issue 500,000 melon. I think it's worth like 30, 35 million right now, just in the context of fund management competitions. So you can participate in those, and if you're good at it, you get a lot of melons. If you're not that good, you get still a little, but not that much. So that's essentially how we're going to issue those remaining melons. Yeah, and by the way, also on GitHub, like we have, if you're an algo trader as developers, we already have like an open source trading bot that you can use and modify, and you know, why trade manually if you can build a trading bot? Great, yeah, that's it. Thanks very much.
Do you want to take one or two questions? You have a couple of minutes, yeah?
We have time for one or two questions. Any questions? You have a question?
Hello, first of all, congratulations. About Mama, you're just working on Switzerland legislation or working with other countries like US or Singapore?
So we would like to make this available for everyone, but obviously our time is very limited and we can't make this compliant to every single jurisdiction. So we kind of started with government of Zug just to have like, I guess a signaling effect that this is actually possible, that the governance and governments and jurisdictions actually want this. But actually, with the participation module, anyone can build those, and we intend to incentivize, like the people that build good participation modules and good risk management modules will get incentivized for it.
Yeah, I was so concentrated on my own question that probably this was a similar question, but the requirements to KYC, whose requirement is it? Is it the fund manager who is only allowed to serve KYC customers? Or is it you as a software developer?
No, it's the investors, essentially. Like, it's the requirements that are, what is required for an investor to invest.
Okay, so if you want to attract regular investors, they need to prove to the people who watch over them, that they let their money managed by identified managers. Is that the requirement?
So it's...
Because I thought the KYC requirement was for the investors, so the investors need to be KYC.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's not their requirement, so it's not their need that there is KYC in. Because, I mean, I can be an investor. there are investors who want to remain anonymous, right?
Right, but, in a similar way that there are probably a lot of managers that don't want to have anonymous investors.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Hi, Reto.
Hi.
The initial roadmap was the product to be delivered in 2 years, but it was early 1 year. Why was that?
So we're well ahead of schedule. So we're aiming to have this live with a basic form of governance next February 2018. So that's 1 year ahead.
Yeah, but what happened that you could make it so fast as you faster than you planned?
So we really like I think in all our communications, we're really not hyping, and like it's just in the same concept. Like we didn't want to hype and say, okay, we have this in 2 weeks, but we wanted to be very conservative. If you're faster, then it's great for everyone. If you're a bit slower, then we still have some cushions, you know. Thanks.
Okay, one last question.
Hi, I'm wondering how mature is the integration with the exchanges so far, and what's your roadmap on integrating with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for now, we're using the exchange of WASI stacks, which is like a fully decentralized exchange. But we're working hard on integrating other exchanges as well. But also this, like it's all a matter of time, resources, and we want to have like a working product, a live working product as soon as possible, and from then on continue like integrating other exchanges.